Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday. It's a little overcast over here in Florida. I think we've got some of the chemtrail spray going on. But other than that, it's a blessed day. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. But I got up this morning to check my emails, and I had the latest email in from Chuck Baldwin, who's a friend of mine. And it really was relatively critical about the guys in the White House and the evangelicals in the White House with Trump. And I like Chuck. I mean, he's a good friend. And so pretty much every single thing he said in his email is true. But I've got a little bit different take on what he said than most people would have. So I'm going to kind of go over this with you because I'm friends with Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. You guys all know that. He was in the White House. He's the one who laid hands on Donald Trump. And I'm also friends with Chuck Baldwin. And so basically, since both of these guys are involved in this email from Chuck, I kind of have a different perspective on it, and I'm going to read you part of the email from Chuck, and then I'm going to read you the text that I sent to Rodney this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's over in Sri Lanka, I believe it is, right now, doing a crusade. I mean, these guys had literally had millions of people come forward to get saved. So here's what I've got to tell you, number one. Number one, let me start off reading you the thing. I want to read you this thing. It says, the truth about Donald Trump. This column is written primarily in response to the way most television evangelists are basically calling Trump a real Christian. Now, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this. And then he said something that's very, very true here, and I want to say this, and I want to just put an emphasis on this. He says, but forgive me, but I've heard all this before, back when George W. Bush was president. One noticeable distinction between Bush and Trump is that Bush did talk about his faith in Jesus Christ, not that it made him a better president, but Donald Trump really doesn't do that. In fact, Donald Trump's, George Bush is listed as one of his top 10 worst presidents of all time. Then he goes on to say, but at no time has Donald Trump made a public profession of faith in Christ Jesus. And so he says, as a pastor with a national audience, it behooves me to say something. Because George Bush claimed to be a believer in Christ, he absolutely could do no wrong in the eyes of Americans' evangelical pastors and Christians. When he took America into two unconstitutional, illegal, and immoral wars, Christians cheered. This is true. I did not cheer. No, but I'm saying what it says. When he bombed innocent men, women, and children in the name of the war on terror, Christians cheered. I did not cheer. This is Ted saying I did not cheer. When he created a brand new war doctrine, the preemptive war doctrine, Christians cheered. When he entered a gigantic surveillance state, when he created this, and a national police force, Christians cheered. And when he filled his cabinet with administration of CFR globalists, Christians cheered. And when Bush partnered with Bill and Hillary Clinton in what can only be described as an international crime family, Christians, well, they looked the other way. Bush was a born-again Christian, so he could do no wrong. Like I said, I've heard this all before. Christians and the conservatives completely overlooked the Bush family's connections to Saudi Arabia, the Bush family connections to international drug running, the Bush family connections to the globalist war traders and profiteers, and the Bush family's connections to German Nazis and Italian fascism, because Bush was a Christian and he could do nothing wrong. And with Donald Trump in the White House, the TV evangelists, the preachers, and the Christian leaders are at it again. But here is what Christians are completely overlooking about Donald Trump. Donald Trump spent his entire adult life scamming people out of billions of dollars. He's filed bankruptcy multiple times, leaving billions of dollars in debtors. Doug Heller, the executive director of the Consumer Watchdog, said Trump is the most egregious, most comical example of the disparity between what the average America faces when going through bankruptcy and the ease with which every rich person can move in and out of bankruptcy. He says, to this day, Trump brags about how smart he is as a business guy, shows absolutely no remorse over the billions of dollars that he's bilked out of investors. Donald Trump spent his entire adult life as a philandering playboy. This is true, guys. And almost everybody knows that Donald Trump has been married three times, and he's had innumerable sexual affairs. When Trump was deposed in a divorce with his first wife, Ivana, he invoked the Fifth Amendment right to keep silent about his relationship with other women 97 times. And he had an affair with his second wife, Marla Maples, while he was still married to Ivana. Okay, now, then it goes on about how he and Melania had been interviewed with Howard Trump, and of course, not Howard, Howard Stern. And Howard Stern's a filthy thing. I'm not going to read you what he says. You can read it online. As Trump's celebrity bloomed with The Apprentice, Melania was asked to tolerate even more humiliation. the public interchange with Howard Stern, which provided a kind of Greek chorus of their relationship, went from lewdly objectifying to grotesque. Trump's lifetime immoralities, infidelities, and sexcapades cannot even be discussed in polite company. This is the cold, hard truth about who and what Donald Trump has been all of his life. The sleazy statement Trump was caught saying with Billy Bush during the presidential campaign last year was a revelation, not an aberration of Trump's personal life. So this article goes on to do this about what he was involved with as far as, and it also goes on to say he was involved with the Jewish mafia, and he also talks about Jared Kushner being involved now with the guys in the Jewish mafia. And it's a really interesting article. And then he says, does it all mean that Donald Trump cannot and will not make some good decisions as our president? He goes, no, not at all. If it's true that Trump ordered the CIA to stop supporting Syrian rebels, that's a good decision. And I applaud Trump's decision to ban transgenders from the military. My only question is, why didn't he ban all homosexuals from military service at the same time? Since the days of George Washington, the U.S. military has always deemed that homosexuality was incompatible with military service until Barack Obama. I am told by trusted Clinton attorney friends that Trump's Justice Department is advocating against cases that provide legal preferences to the basis of abhorrent sexual behavior. I applaud Trump for this. Trump has taken a public stand in support of the Second Amendment. I applaud him for that. And he goes on to a bunch of stuff that Trump has done right. And then, of course, then he also says that basically this is better. Was Hillary Clinton any better? And he goes, of course not. Are people to be blamed for voting for Trump? Not at all. Although I'll say that if Christian leaders, pastors, conservatives, talk shows would be more honest and objective during the primary elections, and if there had been better understanding of constitutional government liberties, okay, we would not always be forced to choose between the lesser of two evils in every general election. But again, he says, I digress. So he says the only way to truly gauge a person of a character is by their track record. The track record of Donald Trump is not pretty, but he is the president. Accordingly, we should support him when his decisions are constitutional, and we should oppose him when his decisions are not constitutional. But he is not a modern John the Baptist and the like. So this is a very good article that Chuck Baldwin wrote, and it's 100% accurate. Now, this morning I sent this to Pastor Rodney over in Sri Lanka, and he wasn't real happy with the article. And he made a couple comments that I won't repeat back to you guys because it wasn't public. But then I wrote him this back, and I will read you the entirety of the email that I sent him. Because remember, guys, this entire situation is unique for me because I know both Chuck Baldwin and Rodney Howard Brown, who's the person who actually prayed for Trump in the White House 3 or 4 weeks ago. We broke the story of Donald Trump's being prayed for in the White House on this show. In addition to that, I broke the story on this show with Austin about Rodney being told that they were going to take Trump out. So I'm in the middle of this thing. Whether I want to be or not, I'm in the middle of it. And so this show has a huge international audience. That's why I had to address this today, because Baldwin has a huge international audience. Trump has a huge international audience. And Rodney Howard Brown has a huge international audience. So I have to be the person in the middle of this trying to make sense of all of this. Now, here's what I wrote this morning at around 6 a.m. to Pastor Rodney. I said, Rodney, I know Baldwin, and you were one of my best friends. So I see this situation different than either of you. I think Trump is swimming in a pool of sewage, piranhas, and great whites. Much of Trump's past has come back to haunt him. The Jewish international banking community has repeatedly bailed Trump out from his bankruptcies. He's had more CFR appointees than either Bush or Obama, and all CF members are globalists who want a one-world government. He has worked with the Jewish mafia for years, it is alleged, in New York City in the construction business. Kushner is currently working with Soros with Cadre Development. So Trump, I believe, wants to extricate himself from his past, but because of the entanglements, he cannot. I believe he is saved. I also believe he wants to restore the United States of America. But I also believe he is beholden to a bunch of really bad people who want to use him to accomplish their goals. Since he wants to do what is right and wants to follow Christ, these globalists are planning on taking him out. As far as his past sexcapades are concerned, he was not saved at that time, I believe. As Christians, we are taught to overlook someone's past when they are born again. The world does not do this. Baldwin was right about George Bush. Christians from all over the world followed George Bush into a ditch. So the article is factually accurate, but it does not take into consideration a true born-again experience. But Trump really needs to publicly on national TV proclaim that he is a born-again Christian. Plus, he needs to stop the CFR appointments and the Rothschild Goldman Sachs appointments. At this point, he has not found his sea legs, so to speak. We must all pray he finds them quickly. Plus, these Russian sanctions and constant Korea rhetoric needs to stop. Quite frankly, due to his past, he is in over his head, and only a total intervention by the Holy Spirit can fix the USA. That's what I wrote this morning. Now, I want to add one thing to this that I did not send to Rodney. Trump is an accidental president. He wasn't supposed to win this election. This election was fixed for Hillary Clinton to win. Trump was doing a stage show, basically, to bring up his own notoriety and his own media presence and his own ability to market the Trump products. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think that Trump thought he could beat the deep state, beat the CFR, and beat Hillary Clinton. However, because of our audience, my audience, because of you guys listening right now, because of Hodges and Hagman and Sheila and Steve Quayle and a whole bunch of us that got together and we prayed to keep the witch of Benghazi out of the White House. The information from the Podesta emails were released the week before the election about the soul cooking, the blood drinking, and all the sick perverted stuff these guys with Hillary were involved in. And I believe that the deep state at that point, because they were trying to cover their tracks as best they possibly could to avoid all of the satanic information being released into the public, including what happened with the Supreme Court Justice down there at the ranch with Scalia and how he died at this weird ranch that he was located and found dead in, and all of the things that were done as far as no autopsy with him. All of this stuff was coming to a head last fall, and they were desperate to keep their heads under the blanket, so to speak. This satanic group does everything in the dark because of the veil they put around the planet that we've talked about so many times on this show. This veil, this energy field, this veil around the hearts of the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see and know the truth, can't be broken. If you suddenly start telling them, wait a minute, there really is a boogeyman under the covers with you, or there really is somebody under the bed, and oh, just wait a minute, there is somebody standing in the bedroom looking at you while you're sleeping right now, and you need to wake up and pull your shotgun out and plug this guy. Maybe you need to say, okay, we need to wake up, but these guys don't want us to wake up. Because if we wake up, we will turn and we will see the truth. And the truth will set us free according to the word of God. They don't want that. They don't want you or me or Austin to wake up anybody, or Hagman or Hodges or Sheila or Quayle. So what they're doing right now is they're censoring YouTube. They're censoring Facebook. They're censoring everything that says anything that they're doing is wrong, and they're giving you the standard global narrative because they lost control of the media, and now because Google is probably 60% of all searches are being done on Google every single day, it controls the internet. And because of that, they're controlling, which they've already controlled Google and Facebook, they're going to go ahead and continue to censor the alternative press because we have had such a huge impact. They're not scared about Russia hacking the election. They're scared about us telling everybody that they're Satanists and they're drinking blood and they're sacrificing children and they're engaged in all these ritualistic things that they do in the middle of the night in their deep underground caverns or in their basements. That's what they don't want the world to know. Plus, they're scared, and Dave talked about this yesterday, that the United States is going to lose its reserve currency status. It's going to lose its hegemony around the world. It's going to lose its petrodollar. And that the United States will not be able to finance its 800 military bases around the world in which it lily pads organs, children, humans, money, and drugs all over the planet to the tune of trillions of dollars through the CIA to fund the black operations that they've got going on. That's what they're concerned about. Because always remember, we've given this country over to our congressmen who are complete and total scum. They're bucket. They're like John McCain, just a filthy, filthy person. I mean, his wife gets in an accident when he's in a POW. He comes back from Vietnam. He sees his wife has gained weight and has been kind of crippled up from the accident she was in. He immediately ends up dumping her, has multiple affairs with like everybody in the whole world he can find, finds his current wife, marries her, and now he only spends like 2 weeks out of the year with her in Arizona, and the rest of the time he's still continuing to run around and philander himself. This guy is a complete and total scumbucket. I haven't talked about him like this before because I didn't really care about him. But now that he came after the alternative media a few weeks ago and said we all just need to go to hell, I had enough of this guy. I don't care if he's got brain cancer. I don't care what he has. He's no war hero. He has got a horrible record in his military past. It's horrible. In fact, a lot of people feel he believe he was when the Forrestal had that horrible accident, he was in the middle of involved in all of that. Some people say he was involved in it. Some people say he caused it. Some people say he was an innocent bystander. You guys, if you're on my personal email list, you got a whole bunch of different opinions on that yesterday that I sent out. But guys, here's what I've got to say. The globalists are absolutely terrified of the reserve currency status, the petro status, Russia doing business with other countries and doing something other than the dollar. So they've turned around now and they've made it illegal for Russia to do business with any of our other allies so as not to discourage the use of the petrodollar in these different things. That's the only reason they're doing it. It has nothing to do with the election. They are terrified that we are going to find out about the satanic agenda. They're terrified that we're going to find out about the interdimensional entities they feed through these ritual sacrifices they do on a regular basis that have been around with us since the days of Noah. They're terrified that we're going to stop and turn and see the truth, and we're going to become, wow, we're not going to put up with this anymore. Guys, right now, we need to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. We need to declare all of the debt that they've incurred for us illegal. The Rothschilds are trillionaires. They can pay their own debt off. They can pay off China. They can pay off all the other people who own our bonds and our treasury bills, etc. They're the ones who did it. They can pay back these other countries. And we need to balance our own budget and put congressional leaders back into the White House that aren't a bunch of perverts, pedophiles, drunkards, whoremongers, drug addicts, basically blackmailed by Jeffrey Epstein in his Lolita Express. All of these guys need to go away. We are a country that's being run by satanic weirdos. We've given the control to these Republicans and to these Democrats that we have in the Senate and the House. They've turned around and given it over to the CIA, to the military, then to the CIA, and to the Sabbatean Kabbalists and their sorcerers and wizards who do these weird things in the middle of the night with all these young children to increase what they call orgone energy, which is a sexual energy. The Far East calls it kundalini energy. Now, don't start telling me this is New Age. I'm telling you what they call it. I'm not saying any of this stuff is right. This is what they do. And this, apparently these interdimensional entities thrive on this energy, this orgone energy. Wilhelm Reich, that weird Jewish perverted nutbag, brought this stuff out into the circles of mainstream as far as psychology back in the 50s and 60s. I'm not saying I agree with any of the stuff they do, and I'm not promoting any of this weird stuff. What I'm saying is this is what they call it. They're involved in this stuff up to their elbows, up to their eyebrows, up to the tops of their heads, and that's why they don't want us to know. Hillary Clinton has so much garbage on Donald Trump and on so many other members of Congress. This is why she's not prosecuted. I guarantee you she's got a dead man switch, or in her case, a dead woman switch. So she suddenly drops dead from some unknown cause in the middle of the night. She's going to have this stuff released on everybody in Congress, and they're scared to do anything to her. Otherwise, the deep state, because of her liability exposure with her, would have already taken her out. There's no reason for that old witch to be running around doing the things that she's doing. That's why she's been strangely silent, if you've noticed, about all of this stuff, because she knows she's on borrowed time. And now our Justice Department, supposedly, I can't verify this, but I've seen it on several news sites, is offering her a plea deal, including no jail time, to basically come clean on what happened with Benghazi and a bunch of the other stuff. So, guys, who in the world knows what's happening with all of this? These guys are a bunch of low-life scum that we've put in power, and because they bring the bacon home to us and they bring money back to our special interest groups and to the lobbying groups, is just like the AMA now has a whole bunch of their doctors completely compromised when Blue Cross and Blue Shield will pay the pediatricians $40,000 a year to reach vaccine compliance with 100 patients. So if they have 300 patients, they get $120,000 a year bonus. That's a lot of money for a pediatrician because they don't make a lot of money. So the whole problem is this. Everything goes back to the money. The entire country has been tainted because of the Rothschild banking cartel, because of the Sabbatean Kabbalists that do all of this weird stuff, including this satanic stuff in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, in the middle of everywhere. And now we're to believe that Donald Trump is a born-again Christian, which I hope that he is. I believe that he is. But he's in the middle of this giant cesspool filled with piranhas and great white sharks. And a lot of the piranha and the great white sharks, he stocked. This is exactly what happened with John F. Kennedy. When John F. Kennedy's father used the mafia, the mob, in Chicago and Illinois to get himself elected, to force that state to become Democrat, to get him in. They did that, and they stuffed the ballot boxes. Everybody knows this. Then he suddenly turned against the mob when he got in because he realized who and what they were and what they were working for, and they worked with the CIA and the Mossad to take him out and to have him killed. They did the same thing to Bobby Kennedy because he was the one who went after them several years later. This is what these guys do. If you owe them or you're beholden to them, they don't forget that. They don't walk away. It's like the Godfather. He does you a favor, you come back and you do him a favor. This is what Donald Trump's got himself into with all of these past business relationships, with all of these bankruptcies that he's managed to extricate himself out of and come out on top. He has a lot of people who he is beholden to, and that's why every time he tries to turn around and do something right, they immediately start talking about impeachment. And if Jeff Sessions has the ability to do this with Mueller now, they're going to set this thing up to take him out. This is a horrible, horrible situation he's got into. He's basically the accidental president because Hillary was supposed to win. And quite frankly, I believe they want Pence in the White House right now as the president, and they're working diligently to try to make that happen. Austin, what do you think?
Wow, yeah, that's definitely a lot of stuff starting off, but no, that's, you hit some pretty good points on there, man. I think that's exactly what we're dealing with right now. I the article that Chuck Baldwin wrote, I mean, it was definitely pretty rough. I mean, I think that Donald Trump definitely has a lot of very, very good qualities, and he's also got a lot of very good ideas as far as what he wants to do. But as you said, I think anytime you get somebody that is in this level of income as far as the billionaire status, I think at some point in time somebody is always able to compromise you at some point. And a lot of the Goldman Sachs boys that they've been appointing and a lot of just weird individuals they've been putting in place has been very odd to me. Everybody's seen that. We've talked about it. So I don't know. We're going to have to continue to watch it. I mean, the whole thing with Russia is definitely pretty odd. We talked about that in detail yesterday. And allowing that to happen as far as this massive, massive, just, I mean, when you start putting sanctions, I mean, straight up act of war sanctions on another country, I mean, and there's definitely going to be some long-term effects that happen with this that are going to be pretty pretty big, but they, like you said, they may be trying to do something to prevent the dollar from collapsing and trying to keep it going as long as possible. I'm not sure.
What Trump needs to do, Austin, is this. Trump needs to come in and just have a sit-down talk and say with the American population, like Ronald Reagan used to do, and say, hey, look, here's the deal. We basically got ourselves into a mess. You know, we let the petrodollar come in back in the 70s with Nixon. We've got the reserve currency status. We've allowed the world to trade in petrodollars. We've allowed ourselves to have this massive debt financed through the sale of our bonds and our T-bills. We've got a mess, and we have to clean this mess up, and we have to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank, which basically hoodwinked us back in 1913 to make us believe that we needed them and we don't. So at this point in time, he says he should basically nationalize the Federal Reserve. I'm right on the TV, right on the spot. I'm nationalizing the Federal Reserve Bank. I'm doing this, this, and this, and we'd have a massive drop off of the stock market. I mean, we'd have probably a 70% drop in the stock market within a month. I mean, it would be a massive sell-off. But we have to do that. We have to take the medicine. And that's why I'm urging all of my listeners, guys, if you still got money in equities in the stock market, do yourself a favor. Take your profits and walk. But, you know, you can talk to your financial planner about that. Let me give you a couple other stories real quick. Robert Steele was on with Richie Allen, and this is on the David Icke Network, and he says those who voted to criminalize the criticism of Israel should be arrested for treason. And I agree with that, because here's some things about this. Netanyahu right now is being charged by his own people in bribery, fraud, and breach of trust because of taking millions of dollars from people in the back rooms. Now, I think what Netanyahu needs to do, and this is a little bit of tongue in cheek, he needs to tell everybody who's charging him with anything and say anything bad about them, just call him an anti-Semite. That way they can take care of it a little bit more efficiently, because that seems like they can do every time you criticize anything with Israel or Netanyahu, you're an anti-Semite. And now here's another interesting article. It says that damning study shows that governments are robbing taxpayers of $5 trillion a year to feed the fossil fuel industry. And what they're saying here is that we're having to pay all of this cleanup, all of these costs, all of this subsidy stuff to keep the fossil fuel industry going. And quite frankly, guys, the fossil fuel industry, it's not really fossil fuel. It's being produced by the earth. And number two, they're absolutely right. this technology is 150 years old with fossil fuels, and we're way, way, way beyond that. And another report says that Russia responds to the new U.S. sanctions by dumping all transactions in the U.S. dollar. Here we go. This is exactly what we told you they were going to do. What Dave Hodges said yesterday. It says, following new sanctions against Russia that President Donald Trump signed into law last week, Moscow reported Monday by announcing Russia will speed up work on reducing the country's dependence on Western payment system and the U.S. dollar in general. Here it comes. Quote, we will, of course, intensify work related to import substitution, reduction of dependence on U.S. payment systems, on the dollar as a settling currency, and so on. It is becoming a vital need, said Deputy Foreign Ministry Sergei Rakhimov on Monday, as cited by RIA. Otherwise, we will always sit on their hook, exactly what they need, he added. The sanctions bill, born of the U.S. politicians' continuing accusations that Russia meddled in the U.S. election, was passed by Congress. Russia didn't wait for the U.S. president's signature. However, they boldly responded within hours of the bill, unconstitutional passage. Guys, this is exactly what we called out weeks ago that they were doing, and now they're doing it. Next story is the scientists have discovered that they have no idea what 75% of the human genetic code is actually used for. This is the biggest problem. They call everything junk DNA. They don't know what it does. Here's what they don't get, and here's what they don't understand, and here's what probably will never be something that they will get. The junk DNA that we have in our bodies is not junk DNA. All of the DNA that we have in the body that they don't understand at this point, as far as I'm concerned, the bulk of it is going to be that we're a transmitter to God, to Yahweh himself. And they don't understand the spiritual aspects of an interdimensional transmitter and how it's put together. That's why they're saying it's junk DNA, because they don't get it. Because remember, these are the same clowns that want you to believe that we came from a monkey, and that's why they want to continue to say that we're coming from a monkey. And oh, by the way, just in case you want to talk about Israeli funding people again, this is from E.J. Griffin. It says the Israeli lobby has funded vacations. Listen to this. Get ready for it. Israeli lobby, AIPAC, has funded vacations in Israel for 53 U.S. congressmen. Guys, this is such a conflict of, this is unbelievable. And remember, a lot of these same guys have dual citizenships with Israel. I think it should be made illegal that anybody in the Congress or in the Senate has a dual citizenship with any other country other than a single residency with the United States of America. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're talking about a significant conflict to Israel, especially how much crap Israel's involved in all the time and how much they work to manipulate stuff and how the Mossad works for the CIA all the time. But that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, that's definitely very, very common in my opinion with this stuff, because these guys are constantly compromised. They're constantly giving in to all this stuff. And that's just what it is, man. It's pretty ridiculous. Here's another story out of Australia. This is kind of a funny one, but it's not really funny at all, but it just goes to show you how this social justice warrior nonsense is getting completely out of hand. This is out of Australia. An Australian vegan cafe now has opened up a new front in the social justice culture war. The Melbourne eatery has announced that it will impose a gender pay gap surcharge of 18% of anyone who eats there who is a male. In addition, female customers will receive priority seating. The cafe said they plan to donate the proceeds from the man tax to a domestic violence charity. The owner, Alex O'Brien, provided the explanation. He said, I do not want people to think about it because we have had this pay discrepancy for decades and decades, and we're bringing it to the forefront of people's minds. I like that it's making men stop and question their privilege a little bit. She also claimed that the response to her house rules have been positive from males and females alike. This is one of those things. Now, my question is here. Is what if a guy comes into the shop and basically says, well, I identify as a female, so I shouldn't have to pay the tax on your stupid little vegan cafe to eat tofu. I don't know. Do they exempt them from that now? That's the next thing you run into. But this is absolutely ridiculous, guys. The fact that these guys are even trying to do this and make it seem like it's okay and cool is ridiculous. Taxing a gender because you think that they basically have a privilege of being male or female is complete and total nonsense. But I got a kick out of it. I thought it was kind of a funny article. Just shows you how ridiculous they've gone down there in Australia at some point. Luckily, this is just one little cafe. But the fact that they're even doing this now kind of boggles my mind.
But again, think about this. How in the world did this even make national or international news? I mean, why in the world have they done this? Because remember, this is what they want. Everything turned upside down. It goes back to the little oratory, my little pontification for the first 20 minutes of the show. This Sabbatai Kabbalah's group wants to turn everything upside down. So being a male is bad. Being a male, you're going to get taxed. Being an alpha male is really bad. They probably, if chances are, if you and I walked in there, they'd tell us to leave. Quite frankly, if I walked in there, I'd be fussing my head off about being charged a male tax. I simply wouldn't pay it. I just wouldn't pay it. I would call the cops. I'd turn it into an international scene. But the thing about it is, there are enough of these whack-bag women down there and these effeminate men. Because remember, these guys who eat vegan. Now, I'm not a vegan. I don't do vegan. Okay, I don't do tofu. I've told you guys tofu turns you into a sissy boy. All right, it's got too much estrogen in it. I got a whole article. I'm going to pull it up in just a second on that, because I've told you that for years, and now I've got other people writing and saying the exact same thing that I said with full documentation, which I've done already. So here's the thing, you know, these guys that are already going to that cafe, chances already are wearing a C cup breast size. All right, they're already wearing their bras because of the gynecomastia from the soy. So they think it's cute and cool, or they're coming in. It's like a couple of months ago, I told you this story. I'm going to tell you it again. I was over at Lowe's hardware store, and I'm not promoting those guys. I could care less if you shop at Lowe's or Home Depot. I could care less. In fact, I'd rather have you shop at your local hardware store. But I was in there, and some woman was standing there. She's about my age, and she was standing in line, and I was standing behind her, and suddenly she turns around, and she glares at me. And I looked at her, and I said, "Am I standing too close to you?" She goes, "Yes, you need to back up." And I'm like, whoa. And I looked back and said, "Excuse me, I didn't realize that I would. Then she goes, "You should have known." I looked at her and I said, "Man, you woman, lady," I said, "you really have a wretched personality. It's wretched. I mean, you're a wretched personality." And she goes, "What did you say to me?" And I said, "You have a wretched personality." I said, "You heard me the first time." And her husband's sitting over there and he's laughing because, you know, this poor guy, he's been beat down so bad, he doesn't know what to do. And all of a sudden she looks at him and she glares at him. He stops laughing immediately, like, oh my God, I'm going to get yelled at now because I laugh. And see, this is the type of clientele they have that go into those coffee shops and into those places like that. They have these super, super dominant females. Now, you know, I've done oratories on the show before about how husbands and wives have to have 100% relationship. I give my wife 100%. She gives me 100%. She knows if we have an issue that something has to be decided, only one person can make the decision, especially when it comes to finances. She always defers to me. When it comes to whether we're going to have, you know, chicken tonight or salmon tonight, I defer to her. Why do I care about that? And so we each have our own corresponding responsibilities, and we both defer to each other all of the time as far as what we're supposed to be responsible for. It's just how we've had a really wonderful 33-year-old marriage. I treat her like she's a Stradivarius violin, in that she's super precious and super fragile, and I've got to take really good care of her. And she treats me like, you know, an alpha male that's helping to take care of the family. And she said to me the other day, she says, "I've taught Lana, Austin's wife, the proper care and feeding of the alpha male to make sure they're all in balance with what we're doing." That's the kind of relationship I have. But guys, we can't allow ourselves to be dominated by women. And women, you can't be allowing yourself to be dominated by some male chauvinist guy who's a nightmare, who likes to run around on you and everything else. That's not okay either. We've got to work together in unison. And these cafes that are doing stuff like this, Austin, absolutely, totally, and completely ridiculous. Now, here's another interesting article. Muslim professor says, this is crazy, funded by taxpayers. He's a college professor. He says, genocide of the white racists is morally required. Mohammed Abed, a California State University Los Angeles professor of ethics, social and political philosophy, and also Islamic philosophy, says that genocide of white racists is morally required, but he doesn't provide a clear definition of what a white racist is. However, he does not include Islamic slaveholders that prevail for centuries in the Middle East. However, Abed is really talking about today's world, not the old world. So who are the right white racists of the day who must be murdered out of obedience to morality? He does not say, but we are safe in assuming it is anyone who supports Donald Trump, the Republican Party, and especially anyone who wants to stop mass immigration from Muslim countries. I really don't know how to respond to people like this that are such clear racists that they want to have people killed because of skin color. Now, I'm going to cover this with you guys one more time so you understand the difference between a racist and a bigot. A racist is somebody who believes, like this guy believes, that white people should be killed, and it's a moral requirement if he considers them to be a racist, apparently because they're genetically inferior to him. A bigot is a person who doesn't believe in another person's value or belief system. In other words, if someone said to me that they believed in pedophilia and that it was okay to have sex with little boys, if I didn't knock them unconscious first, which probably is something I would do, especially in my younger years, I would look at him and I'd say, I completely and totally disagree with you. You're a weirdo. And he would call me a bigot because I'm diametrically opposed to his value system. And he would be absolutely right. I'm a bigot towards him because I believe he's nuts. Now, the racist, on the other hand, wants everybody killed who's not white or who's not black or who's not red or who's not whatever. They believe that they're genetically superior to a group of people, that they need to be basically exterminated. They need to be killed and wiped out. That's what this guy is. This guy is a huge racist. And this is what I've told you guys, and Austin's told you the same thing. There's a huge protocol out there right now to bring in the extermination, the eradication of the white race. And it's so frustrating to me, because if I was black, I would be so all about being black. If I was Hispanic, I would be so all about being Hispanic. If I was Chinese, same thing. Russian, same thing. Japanese, same thing. I would be all about that. I just happen to be white, so I'm all about being white because I'm a white guy. Okay? There's nothing wrong with taking pride in your own race and who you are. But when these nutbags, who's a college professor now, who's on basically the taxpayer dollars payroll, is telling everybody that white racists, who never defines who they are, I guess like you said, who people who believe in Donald, who voted for Donald Trump, need to be exterminated, and it's important because they're basically morally required to kill us. Guys, if no one's listening to this, this is some pretty scary rhetoric. This is some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
The problem is these guys really believe this. These guys are nutbags and they really believe it. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what's going on, man. It is some pretty rough rhetoric. And the fact that, I mean, it's geared and it's directed towards a specific race. And like you said, any race, I would be proud, regardless. I mean, that's absolutely your right to be proud of who you are, your background, your heritage. That's awesome. That's great. But to sit there and start singling out a specific race and basically start implying that you need to have mass genocide against that race because they are inherently evil because they've done something that offends you. That's some pretty weird stuff. And the fact that the mainstream media and a lot of these leftist liberal articles and newspapers and internet sites are really actually pushing this stuff and allowing it to go, and nobody's really addressing it or even saying that it's wrong. They're just kind of like, well, that's their opinion. You know, if they want to say that, they can say that. But the problem is it's getting more and more and more aggressive. We've seen this, especially after Barack Obama. He pretty much made sure that we've had the worst race relations in this country when he became president. I mean, he made sure of that. I mean, it was every time something happened, the mainstream media, everything, it always pushed everything it could from a racial standpoint. And it's sad because there's no reason for us to be like that at all. And then when you have people like this spewing out this unbelievably disgusting rhetoric, it's not a good situation, man. And it's something that's going to cause a lot of issues if we don't address it now and make everybody understand that we all have a right to be proud of who we are. We all have the understanding of everybody can be who they need to be, and you can be proud of your heritage and your background, but sitting there saying you have the right to basically kill mass people and that that needs to happen in order to affect change is a pretty scary notion, bud, and some really, really, really dark rhetoric for this to be pushing around so aggressively.
You know, if anybody said this, you know, about blacks, or we don't say this about Muslims. We say the Muslims need to stay in their own country.
No,
unless they're going to incorporate themselves into the United States value systems and be here peaceably as a United States citizen, they just need to stay where they are. They don't need to come here. If they're going to come here to try to create chaos in the civil war, stay the heck out of our country. We don't want you here. And that's all Donald Trump was saying. Why are we bringing in Muslims from all of these countries that basically hate us and want to kill us? So, yeah, that's the whole thing we need to get, and we need to understand, guys, that none of this stuff, this rhetoric, this unbelievably racist rhetoric is okay. I mean, I love white people. I love black people. I love Hispanic people. I love everybody. I think everybody's cool. I think that everybody can work together as the body of Christ and in unity of the Spirit, and we can all get to heaven together. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. I believe that we all should accept Yahweh and Yeshua and accept, you know, and be born again. I believe all that. And I believe that it doesn't matter what color a person is or what they came from. It's like I said earlier in that letter, I've got a lot of stuff in my past. I mean, I had a lot of girlfriends. I wasn't married, but I had a lot of girlfriends and in college when I was at FSU. And I wouldn't want somebody dragging out something that I did 40 years ago, which I've had people do to me, haven't seen me for 40 years, because I basically become a born-again Christian in April of 1979. And I know exactly when I became born again. Guys, here's the thing. We all have to work in love and harmony with all of us. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're originally from Sudan or from Africa or Egypt or Mexico or South America or Germany or England. It doesn't make a difference. Let's all work together to bring back the United States of America. Because, guys, Dave Hodges covered this yesterday in absolutely just pretty abrupt detail, that we are on the brink of a major, major mess here in this country. And we thought Trump could pull us out of it. But these globalists, these satanic boys, this Federal Reserve Group that's bankrupt the United States, they are bent on not being exposed. And they're willing to bankrupt this entire country and kill two-thirds of the population of the country, according to Deagle, in order not to allow themselves to be exposed. Guys, pay attention to what we're saying. Austin, what's your next story?
No, absolutely. Well, this is interesting now, as New York basically is drowning in debt, as we have seen now, and we're seeing the entire country, as far as with the welfare system now, just literally turn on its head as far as building this giant dependent nation where we have, you know, literally almost a sixth of the entire population on food stamps and even much higher amount on some type of government subsidy. New York now, the liberal state that it is, they want to make it basically that people that are going on food stamps now, they don't even essentially have to lift a finger. They are setting up a new mobile app released by the city's welfare agency that takes care of the filing of the paperwork. It's known as the Access HRA Mobile. The tool reportedly does all the work for people who participate in the SNAP program. Introduced back in March, the app has already been used by welfare recipients to upload more than 1 million filing documents. The app not only guides users in how to submit complex SNAP paperwork for agency review, it allows them to easily check their eligibility status as well as schedule appointments with the agency to keep everything rolling. Made possible with a $1.5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Access HRA Mobile functions like a personal assistant for those on welfare who apparently can't even be bothered with having to exert the energy required to apply for free food or other taxpayer-funded benefits. And now, in order to operate this mobile app, one needs to have a smartphone like an iPhone or an Android that's capable of performing this various complex function, which is odd to me because, so basically, we see that now where a lot of individuals say they can't pay for food, they can't pay for housing, they need full government assistance, yet they have a smartphone, which some of these phones range anywhere from $600, $700, $800 I've seen before. And according to official data now, nearly 70% of food stamp recipients currently own smartphones. Now, the issue I have with this is, why in the world did they need a $1.5 million grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to keep this rolling. This is all comes down to the fact of creating a completely dependent populace on the government. This is what all this comes down to, guys. They've already done numerous research studies where they did one out in South Carolina, I think it was, or Georgia, I talked about it, where they made it, if somebody didn't have a, didn't look for a job or they didn't have any significant reason, they basically fell off the government subsidy thing, and like 60 to 70% of them within the first month fell off. They couldn't even keep any type of subsidies going because they essentially weren't doing anything. And this is what we've done now. We've created this giant safety net under the United States. And in some cases, I got it. People have hard times. They lose their jobs. They have issues with family. People are disabled. I got all that. And I don't have a bit of problem for helping to support a lot of these people. But then, you know, you got a real issue. That's what I talked about a long time ago, and I got some flack for it because some people really didn't agree with me on it, where I talked about I was at basically Walmart just ways back, and this lady was going in and buying all this food on her SNAP card. I mean, tons of food. And bought on her SNAP card, and then goes and buys, after she does that, then she has them ring up two packets of cigarettes and pays it in cash. Now, I got it. People got vices. People got addictions. I got that. But why am I sitting there having to spend my money and be taxed incessantly so I can help support you eat while you go and spend $6.50 on a pack of cigarettes and you buy two of them in cash? Obviously, you have income to buy cigarettes, but you can't buy your own food. That's the issue I have with a lot of stuff, and that was just a very, very minor analogy. But this is something that's going to show you now, where now they're doing smartphone apps where literally all you have to do is sign up for the app, put your name in, put your info in, and you immediately can get more food benefits. This is what they're trying to do now, is get the entire population on some type of benefit or subsidy. Because remember, if you can control people's food, if you can control what you're giving them, if you can get them so comfortable because they're getting so much free stuff, they're very, very, very unlikely to ever have any type of aggression towards you or revolt, because they don't want to lose their free stuff, Dad.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the whole thing, here's the thing, guys. I mean, if you're giving people subsidies just to basically pay their bills, it's like having a free paycheck. And if somebody's giving you $400 or $500 a week not to work, just to chill out, I mean, that's a pretty big incentive not to ever work, okay? Because if you go back to work, you got to make up that $500 immediately off your first part of your payment that you're making for the month. So let's say you're going to make $700 a week, and you're going to have to pay all that back in taxes, or you're going to get $500 tax free. There's no decision there, because the $700 would be taxed at $200 anyhow. See, you're going to make the same thing working as you would doing nothing, unless you get some giant salary of $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 a year. You're simply at a loss to take a job. And that's why we have 100 million people in the United States right now that are either underemployed or unemployed, or are not looking for work anymore, also because they found a way to make the system work for them and to continue to get money without having to do anything. It's just ridiculous. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting article. It says Trump's Justice and State Departments are blocking new court order to investigate Hillary's Benghazi emails, according to Attorney Jeff Sessions and the Secretary of State Rex Tillerson had rejected a federal judge's order to search the State Department's email accounts of Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, and Jacob Sullivan to disclose emails related to Benghazi. This is another clear example of how obvious the fact is that President Trump has placed moles in the high government position who are well-known Clinton loyalists and globalists. It is possible that he's keeping a campaign promise to the Rockefellers in return for their support that was negotiated during Trump's visit to Henry Kissinger in the early days of his presidential campaign. That's by G. Edward Griffin. Now, what's interesting about this is, I think Griffin is right about this. Something is going on. We've got a group of people here that don't want Hillary Clinton to be prosecuted. And they're blocking court orders now to make sure that doesn't happen. What a mess, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it is, golly. Well, the whole thing with them is definitely, I mean, it's pretty crazy as far as how much stuff they've gotten away with. And like you said, I think you nailed it on the head earlier. She definitely has some type of dead woman switch and so much dirt on just about everybody, because the fact that she hasn't been prosecuted, the fact that she has not seen jail yet, the fact she continues to walk around, I mean, pretty much with full immunity, just goes to show you what level she's on. And it's pretty, it's definitely pretty weird. Also, too, I wanted to talk about it real quick before the end of the show. The very popular product, I've gotten a couple emails on it this week. It's on Product of the Week, because it won. It's the chelation therapy, and that's a very popular product, Dad. I know a lot of people take it. I know you can have the oral chelation therapy, which we carry, one of the best ones on the market, and then also intravenous chelation therapy, which I know you do too, Dad, sometimes. But what do you think? I mean, obviously the oral chelation that we have on sale right now, it's definitely a lot easier to use. It just takes longer than the intravenous chelation therapy. What's your take on as far as both of them, as far as with the oral or the intravenous one?
Well, I use them both. Okay, so here's what I tell people. If you've got a serious issue and you know you've got plaquing in your arteries, do the intravenous combined with the oral. If you're like doing this as a prevention, if you're 40 or 50 years old and you want to start cleaning out your arteries, make sure they don't get plugged up or whatever, or you don't get heavy metal toxicity, I'd say stay with the oral. Now, what I did at the age of 55, I went in and I started on the oral, and I also went in and I did, I think, 40 or 50 intravenous treatments over a period of 2 years. And what that did, that gave me like a big boost back. So in other words, anything that would have been in there would have been cleared out really fast. And then I, on a regular basis, use the oral. So it depends on what you want to do. If you're 70 years old and you've had quadruple bypass surgery, you've got intravenous chelation. You've waited too long. If you're young and you want to make sure that doesn't happen to you, I recommend you start on at a young age. And so that's what I did, and that's what I continue to do. Oh, by the way, I will be on the Hagmann Show tonight for the first 2 hours. We've got a bunch of breaking news and other stuff that I have not covered on this show that we will be covering on Hagmann tonight. In fact, it's going to be an interesting show tonight on Hagmann. But I will be also covering a few of the items that I covered on today's show, simply because I feel that it's necessary to take it to a larger audience. So I just want you guys to know that tonight. And also, I want to thank you again. I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for your continued prayers. I want to thank you for the way that you just listen on a regular basis and you get your vitamins from us. I mean, I don't even know what to say besides thank you, and I appreciate you. I can say that. And it's wonderful to me to know that, we've got all of these wonderful listeners that continue to listen to us and are a part of our family. It's like I've told you so many times. It's kind of like you and I, it's kind of like we're in a campground with you guys, and we're sitting out by an RV or a tent or whatever you're in, and we got a fire going. And there's about a dozen of us sitting around the campground, and we're just talking, and we're chilling out, and we're having a really good time of fellowship, of adoration, building each other up, basically positive affirmations. And we're all sitting there going, wow, this is really great to be in the company of believers. That's how I feel about doing this show every day. I mean, I told Austin today, we were in Orlando today, and I told him on the way home, I said, Austin, here's how I feel. I said, when I was on vacation with you, I missed doing the show like twice. And once we ran tape, the other time I couldn't do it because I wasn't available. I wasn't available. So, but I love doing the show. So even when I'm on vacation, my heart is with the listeners of this show, because I consider you guys to all be friends. And I hope you feel the same way about us. And guys, it's the same thing. I'm going to tell you this again. You come to my house, you come by to say hi, you come by the office, you're not going to find pork in our office. You're not going to find the stuff that we tell you not to do at the office. You're not going to find it at my house. We don't do that kind of stuff. I had a long talk with a friend of mine who's a pastor today, Austin, and he basically, it's funny, he's the pastor who went on the hormonal replacement therapy after I told him not to do it. And he told me, he goes, well, you were right, Ted, I was wrong. He goes, you can go ahead and use me as an example on your show. I thought, I've already done that. but what's funny about this, I was talking to him about Christian people and Christian TV evangelists and how many that I know who aren't what they appear to be. Guys, you know me. Lord, you know me. I'm the same yesterday, today. I'm always the same. I people say to me, gosh, Ted, you got saved and you've not really changed. You're always the same person. Guys, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be consistent in everything we think and do and say. So I want to thank you guys for listening to me today and listening to Austin today. And thank you for your prayers. They're really, really just heartfelt. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, I'll go ahead and write the summary up today. I'll let you go ahead and finish it. You got a couple more shows, a couple more stories you can cover with them, or you just want to talk to them for a few minutes?
Oh, yeah. We'll get everything wrapped up here.
All right. Love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll talk to you tonight on Hagman at 7 p.m. God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yeah, and also, too, we're seeing more and more. I saw this article up earlier today. You know, the fact that organic has skyrocketed in the U.S., the demand has grown, you know, over 20% just in the last year. And more and more people are wanting organic food. However, many organic products now that are coming out of China, basically whose food industry standards for safety and quality are notorious low, much of these organic produce grown in China is so unsafe that the farmers who grow it won't even eat it themselves. We're seeing that more and more now, that the food labeled organic has never even grown with the intention of being organic, but rather it means to circumvent China's reputation for substandard produce. U.S. custom personnel often rejects entire shipments of fruit from China due to the addition of dangerous and unsavory additives and the presence of drug residues, mislabeling, or poor hygienic state of the food. So make sure you guys are very careful if you're getting any of this organic food. Make sure it's not coming out of China. I'm not a big fan of stuff coming out of China at all, as far, especially when it comes down to food. It's just not a good idea. So be aware. Be fish, too. You know, I've seen some fish where they've been wild-caught fish, and they've actually got them out of China. There's just a lot of pollutants over there, a lot of nasty stuff over there, and definitely not something that you want to be eating at all. So just don't get any food out of China, in my opinion. But, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate all the support and all the emails you guys have given us. And as I said earlier, check out the product of the week, the chelation therapy. That's on sale for over 10% off. Very, very popular product. And then the other products are up for vote right now. The HGH Stimulate powder is actually winning very, very aggressively. That's a popular product as well. Once that goes on sale, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be stocking up on it. That's our L-arginine nitric oxide formula. It's very good for pre-workout, very good for blood flow and circulation, and also helps to increase natural HGH production. So be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com, and also check out all the other kits that we have on there for sale. If you guys need anything, email us or call us, 1-800-726-1834. We appreciate everything, guys. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and enjoy that on the Hagman Show, and have an awesome weekend, and we'll talk to you again Monday as always.